and there's a couple of subjects I want to deal with, but I thought this would be maybe a good stopping point with next Sunday having a visiting speaker and start something different the next week. But I certainly have enjoyed going through the book of Galatians, preaching through this, and not verse by verse, because if you did, we'd be here this time next year. And so just trying to take a subject matter, been dealing primarily with what Paul dealt with of those false doctrines that had crept in to those churches that were in the area of Galatia, probably three or four different churches that had been troubled by what was called, what we call legalists or Judaizers, those that came from Jerusalem, brought the Jews' religion and trying to put a burden upon the Gentiles that they had to do certain things in order to go to heaven. And Galatians is a book that combats false doctrine that comes sometimes in the most subtle way, that we must remember that salvation is totally, completely, thoroughly by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Galatians deals with that, and that's what I've tried to stay with, that subject. There's a number of other subjects in here that are very important. In chapter number 5, you have the works of the flesh, and you have the fruit of the Spirit that you'd have probably 6 or 7 weeks just on those different things. But we're going to try to stay with the topic that we've dealt with in these many weeks since we began the study in the book of Galatians. So I want to read just a portion of chapter number 6. We'll skip some verses and give you some thoughts this morning, and primarily about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that it is a detriment to some and how people despise it, and then how it is a glory to you and I that are believers. In verse number 12, we'll not read the entire verse, but I want you to notice the last part of that verse. It says, they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. There are some that suffer and some that make it very difficult upon the lives of believers, and so they suffer for the cross of Christ. Now look at verse number 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Look at verse number 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here that Paul is bringing to a conclusion the book or the letter that he writes to these churches, and in that verse he said, let no man trouble me. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He said, I have the scars in my body to prove that there is a persecution that comes to believers. There is a persecution that comes upon those that name the name of Christ. And Paul says, I have the bodily marks that would prove to you that I've been beaten, that I've been scourged, that I have been tormented and troubled on every hand. But yet, he says in verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so Paul was not downtrodden. Paul was not discouraged, but he said, no man's going to trouble me because I bear within my body the marks or the persecution of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words, Paul now goes back to the theme that we have tried to deal with throughout the book of Galatians, that he is dealing with those people that have crept into the churches that have tried to teach them that there is a rite or there is a ceremony of circumcision that they need to go through in order that they be able to go to heaven. The Jews that were there were troubling those Gentiles because Paul had preached unto them, Paul being a Jew, had preached unto them the way to get to heaven was by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's message was true, and by the way, that's the message today. There's a lot of people that have come into this world of religion that have muddied the waters and have done some of the same things that these legalists did from Jerusalem. They come in different forms and different ideas and different rules, but anytime you add something to the grace of God, then you're putting something of works in that that makes it null and void, that a person has difficulty understanding. And so we find that there are those that will persecute because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17, Paul writes to that church of Philippi. He says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and how they tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." There are enemies of this cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they were in Paul's day, there are enemies today of the message of salvation. Verse number 19, Paul gives them here in Philippians 3 the destruction. Those that are enemies of the cross, he said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They're just interested in themselves, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. So there is a force, and there's a battle that goes on continually between righteousness and unrighteousness. Much of it goes under the disguise of the name of religion. There are people that name the name of Christ, but yet they are despisers of the truth of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They despise the person of that cross. There's a lot of churches that open up every Sunday morning, but yet they do not preach the cross of our Lord. They have a lot of their own rules and a lot of their regulations and a lot of things they do, and they go through their steps, but they really do not preach the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they really do not give forth the message of salvation. They have literally introduced to this world, which Paul says there is not, but they have introduced to this world another Jesus. And that other Jesus is the one that will bring them down to defeat. This other Jesus is a lamb that is not sufficient. I'm glad the Lamb of God that John introduced to this world says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I'm glad our Lamb is sufficient to take care of the sins of any person, anybody, anywhere, anytime that will come to the Lord and confess their sin and trust Him. I'm glad our Lord is sufficient. Thank God for that. But the religious world has introduced a Jesus that is not sufficient. Their religion is always Jesus Christ plus something else. Oh, it's good to talk about Jesus. It's good to have Him as a religious word, but there's other things you got to do to be right with God. Gallagher so clearly gave it this morning, gave the truth of it. The only thing we need to go to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to heaven and not go to church, as he said. You can go to heaven and not be baptized. You can go to heaven without a lot of the things that we know that are important, but that is not what takes us to heaven. And so Paul tells us here there are those that will persecute and those that despise the cross of the Lord, and their Lamb is not sufficient. Their Lord is not sovereign. I'm glad my Lord, I'm glad Jesus Christ is the sovereign ruler of this world. What He says goes, and it will happen just like He says it will. Their religion allows them to live as they wish and instead of God's will. Just if it feels good, do it. And I think I'm okay, preacher. God's never condemned me about that. And so they live the way they want to live regardless of what the Scripture says. And that's another Jesus. Their life is not satisfying. They live in their own agendas and their own ways. And so they despise the religion, despise the person of the cross of our Christ. They despise the price of the cross, the sinner. They loathe this thing of the shedding of blood. The modernists today and the liberals today will say, "We don't like that bloody religion. We don't like the blood of Christ." And so you can pick up a lot of books that call themselves Bibles, and the blood's been removed from that in many, many instances because religion doesn't like the price of our redemption. And the price is in the shed blood of the Lamb of God. It's not just His death, it's He died and He shed His blood and He suffered for us. And the sinner does not desire that. They want to remove it from their Bibles, and many denominations have removed it from their songbooks and don't even want to sing about there is a fountain filled with blood. And so they despise the price of the cross. You and I, we love the subject of the blood of Christ. Not that we love a bloody religion, but we recognize that the price of our redemption was the shedding of the blood of the Son of God. We realize that it took His blood to make us redeemed. We realize that He gave the ultimate sacrifice of Himself, that He hung on the cross of Calvary, and His life's blood, His life flowed from Him, And there is a fountain filled with blood from which from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel being the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hung there. He shed his blood. And you and I that are saved, we love the subject of the blood of Christ because of what it's done for us. Because of the glory that the saint sees in the Lord and His blood that was shed. The Savior, His blood is precious. The precious blood. The Bible more than once talks about the blood of Christ being the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Something that is precious, there's nothing else like it. We have precious jewels that we purchase and they're called precious because there's not an abundance of them. And the least there is of something, the more value that one thing becomes. I heard the other day that a certain car was auctioned off somewhere and there was only seven, as far as they know, in existence in the world. I'd like to have bought that one, but it was far above my place. You know why it was so high? There's very, very few. You know why it's so precious? Because there's not much of it. We have our precious jewels, our precious things, because they're not abundantly supplied to us. Well, I'll tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the precious blood of the Lord, because there's only one, and He's the Son of God. And this world tries to introduce us another Jesus that has no power. The world despises these people that persecute. They despise the preaching of the cross. The world likes the preaching that makes them feel good about themselves. And that little phrase, they are teachers having itching ears. They do not like the cross because it exposes their sinfulness. None of us don't want to admit we're sinners. We don't want to admit that we're ungodly. We don't want to admit that that's my nature. The Bible clearly declares that we're sinners by nature and that therefore we are sinners by choice. We choose to do what we do and we choose wrong because that's our nature. And we find that the world doesn't want to hear that and the sinfulness of man and the preaching of a cross, it exalts God's holiness and the world certainly doesn't want to have that. I don't want to have somebody tell me how to live, what to do. God's just a figment of an imagination, but the cross reveals God's hatred for sin and His penalty for sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so therefore, Jesus Christ, the sinless substitute, died for every sinner that lives upon God's earth. The world doesn't like that. The persecutor does not desire that, and they don't want you to evangelize the lost. We hear much about that today. Don't bother. Not too long ago, I heard somebody say, people ought not to go in with the gospel or with religion into these other segments of the population because they have their traditions. Well, their traditions are wrong. Tradition is not going to take us anywhere except to hell. We are told that we ought not go to the Native American because they have their religion. Well, their religion is all that is. It's not salvation. And the gospel, the Bible tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to invade their territory. We're to go where they are and to show them what is wrong and what is wrong in their message and show them what's right in the message. That is where we have to preach truth. And God, like He did Lydia's heart, that just sort of stuck with me yesterday as Brother Fayard and I were talking. Lydia, her heart was opened by the Lord. All we can do is take the message. It is God that opens the heart. It is God that reveals this is true. And it is God that reveals that's false. What they have is wrong. What you've heard is wrong. But here's truth. And here's what God said. And God begins to open the heart. He begins a good work. He starts a work in your life. And He culminates it one day with salvation. He culminates with coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the persecution of the cross, they despise evangelism. They despise the exposing of their sin. They despise the people of the cross. We that are saved, we are a peculiar people, the Scripture says. We are a different people. We do not see the world like they see the world. We don't see, you hear speeches of different ones. And I'll take, for instance, the speech that Benjamin Netanyahu gave just a few weeks ago to our Congress. It's amazing how people can sit and hear the same thing and have total different views of it. You know why? Because they've got a different worldview up here. They see it from a different view or perspective. Some thought it was terrible. Some thought it was great. I happen to be in the ones that thinks it was great. Great speech he made. But the world said, oh, you're peculiar. You're different. I hope we always stay guilty to that accusation, that we be different. We are a people that are peculiar. We are particular. We're different. We are strange in their eyes. We're strange in their view. And they despise the message that we have. They despise the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because not only are we a peculiar people, but we're praising people. I believe people that are saved ought to say so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I believe we ought to tell people. And there's times we get joyous. There's times we get happy. There's times that we have tears of joy that flow from our face. There's times that we just simply rejoice because we know what the Lord did for us that day upon Calvary. We are praising people. But as we read here this morning, some of those things makes us a persecuted people. Some of those things make it difficult on us because of what we believe and what we stand for. But verse number 14, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Paul says, I have nothing to brag on. I have nothing to make statements about other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, by whom the world is crucified. You know what? That little phrase there, the world is crucified to me. Paul says, the world no longer has that influence on me that it used to have because it's crucified. And crucified means it's dying. It's going to exist only for a short while. And praise the Lord, one of these days soon this world's going to pass and we're going to be in a new world. And Paul tells us here that we are certainly those people that understand the preaching of the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And then he says, and I unto the world. That means there's the persecution aspect. The world has crucified me. The world has put me in turmoil. The world has given me, as he said in that next couple of verses, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the world. I bear in my body the marks of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the persecution that has come unto him. Christians today are very, very vulnerable. And there's much persecution going on in this world. Go back from the time of Christ even until now, you'll find that the most persecuted people that has ever been has been the child of God, been God's people. But the songwriter says, and we have it in our songbook, the song entitled, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Well, that's a great song, my goodness. The old-time writers, those that wrote songs and hymns years ago, they had so much doctrine in their in their songs. Their songs are almost messages. Today we have the thump and tap, 7-Eleven. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't move your heart, just moves your foot. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against. Forget it. I like beats. I like the time. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the message. Now, there's a lot of preachers that I hear that I don't really like their delivery. And some people probably don't like my delivery. But that's not important. The important thing is what we're delivering. The important thing is what we're saying. And this old song says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. When we look at the cross of the Lord, he writes, my richest gain I count but loss. Whatever I have in my bank account doesn't amount to anything when it comes when I look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Dead ere such love and sorrow meet, for thorns compose such a crown. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er His body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Wonder where he got that phrase from. Right here where we read. Crucified the world, it's crucified to me, and I to the world. He says, were the whole rim of nature mine, that were a present far too small. If everything this old world had was ours, it'd be a too small present to give to our Lord, because love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. To Christ, who won the sinners for sinners' grace, by bitter grief and anguish sore, be praised from all the ransomed race forever and forevermore. When I survey, when I look, when I examine the wonderful cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that is contemptuous to the world, we have to say, my all belongs to Him. My soul, my life, my own. There is a declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He died for fallen man. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world so much that He was willing to sacrifice His Son. That He would die for me. That He would go to the cross. That He would suffer the agonies and the pains of death. And literally to have Satan and all the host of hell at Him and gnawing at Him. But yet, the declaration is that God loved me. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Well, this old world, sometimes they'll say, God's going to get you for that. He even had a song. I hated that song. No, God loved me. If God wanted to get me, He has plenty of opportunities. If God wants to destroy me, He has all the opportunity, He has all the right, He has all the reason to just snuff my life out. But thank God He's gracious. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. That the world might come to know Christ and know Him, the pardon of their sin, and they don't have to live like they live. They don't have to die like a sinner. They don't have to go to hell. They can be saved and be born again. Be a child of God. That's the declaration of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 says, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't look at me as a saint when He died for me. He looked at me as an awful, ungodly, dirty, wicked sinner. But He says, while we were sinners, He died for us. 1 John 3, first part of verse 16 in that little book of 1 John says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Every person in this building this morning, that verse is true. For God laid down His life for us. Somebody said, well, I thought you were talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God. God in the flesh. The Gospel of John declares Him as the Son of God. The little John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, declare the love and the glory and the grace of God. The Apostle John that wrote those books are that are given to us shows to us that Jesus Christ is the embodiment, of the God of heaven. And so therefore, when he says, if we're going to perceive, if we're going to see the love of God, it's because he, God, laid down his life for us. That's the preaching, the declaration of the cross. The cross not only declares Christ, but the cross also declares God's hatred for sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he hath made him, speaking of Christ, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a verse. God made Jesus Christ sin. There as he hung on the cross of Calvary, and I believe in those hours of the darkness of that day of crucifixion, I believe God made Christ sin for us. He who knew no sin, he who Pilate even said, I find no fault with him. Even Judas that we preached on last Sunday, even Judas said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And God saw fit to put sin upon his son that I might have one day the righteousness of God. What a blessing. What a wonderful salvation we have. And the world tries to muddy it and does muddy it and destroy the lives of people because of their traditions and getting away from God's Word. The devil is having a heyday when he destroys the gospel. And Paul is fighting that. And I believe you and I, if we don't fight it, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our family, are going to be so confused that they'll die and go to hell. We don't like to hear that word, but it's real. The cross declares God's hatred for sin. He hated it so much that Jesus Christ became sin for us, that we might obtain the righteousness of God through Him, through Christ. If you haven't got the message yet, it's all about Christ. It's all about the Lord. It's not about the baptismal pool. It's not about how good I am. It's not about how much I learn. It's not about how many verses I quote. It's not how many Sundays I attend. It's not in all those things that I can do. It's in Christ Jesus alone. But yet religion that hates us says, oh, no, you've got to do this. You've got to go through the traditions of our fathers. Paul said the traditions of our fathers. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said, I knew the traditions of the Father. But you know what happened one day? Paul met Jesus Christ. Made a difference in his life. And when we meet Jesus Christ, it makes a difference in our life. And so, there is a declaration. There's a hatred that God has for sin. The cross declares the punishment for sinners, for the wages of sin is death. And Jesus died upon that old rugged cross. That was the wage, that was the payment. We know what a wage is, we all work for it. We have a wage, somebody that pays us for the hours that we work. That's our wages. Well, the payment or the wages of sin is not good. For the wages of sin is death. Two kinds of death. Physical and spiritual. If you're born only one time, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, you're going to die spiritually. If you're born twice, if you're born physically and you're reborn, or as Jesus told Nicodemus, born again, you only die once. I'm only looking for one death in my life, and that's when I leave this world. I'm going to be more alive after that, that last breath. I'm going to be more alive then than I am right now. Because He is life. In Him there is no darkness. In Him there is no sin. He died for the sinner. And the punishment of that is death. Oh, but I'm glad that's not the end of that verse in Romans 6, or Romans chapter 3. It goes on in Romans chapter 6 and says it's the gift of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, Romans 3 says we've all sinned. Romans 6 says the payment for it is death. But on the other side of that, the payment for salvation is righteousness and holiness and eternal life in Jesus Christ. We have a religious world that don't even believe the term eternal. And God gives it to us all the way through His book. The cross declares Christ. The cross declares God's hatred. The cross declares the punishment for sinners. The cross demands. There is a demand of the cross. We must earnestly bear it. We must preach it. We must, if we have to, defend it. We're living in a society that sometimes we better defend the truth. Because they have the world, I'm talking about religious world now, they have the crowds. They have the money. Some of these mega churches, you think they don't have the money? One of the mega church that had come out that their Sunday morning offering was $600,000+. One service. They have the money, they have the influence, but a lot of them don't have the message. You better examine what they're saying according to this book, because they don't have the message. I thank God for a few out there that has the national ear that people can hear, but they're very few. We must diligently preach the cross to tell the world that Jesus saves. Should never forget what the Lord's done for us, what He has given to us. We should never forget where we came from. We should never forget God's grace. I'm glad this morning that I was raised where I was raised. I didn't have to be placed in a home that loved God. But God in His mercy put me there. I didn't have to be raised in a church that taught these things that I'm just passing on, that I heard as a kid. I didn't care much about them then. I was a kid. When I was a teenager, I didn't care. I went because I had to. I'd lost the other state. I never in my whole life, never did I ever get to see it. I thought it was so bad. You're going to laugh. I never got to see the Wizard of Oz. You know why? It always came on Sunday night. Wasn't any reason for me to say, Dad, I'd like to see that. It just wouldn't have worked. You know what? I still have never seen it. I almost have a fear of watching it. Afraid my dad would get me. But the world, they go down that yellow brick road. They do follow the Pied Pipers. Well, some of those things you turn on TV, they're nothing more than Pied Pipers getting what they can get. They don't give you anything truthful. We'll be here 12:30 if I don't be quiet. But this morning, we're talking about the persecution for the cross of Christ. We're talking about, Paul says, I glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're dealing with what Paul said, from henceforth, from now on, he says, let no man trouble me, because I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's real. We dealt with the persecution of the church this morning. Tonight we're going to deal with the glory of the cross. Tonight we're going to do more on the glorious side. Praise God for His glory. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks. He said, but I'm going to glory in the cross of our Lord. I'm going to glory. If there's anything for me to boast in, it's in Him. if it's anything for me to brag on, it's in Him. I've heard people say, I've been baptized 5 times. They brag about it. No, they got wet. Baptism is only one time happening. It's after you get saved. But we glory, we boast, we think we're doing so good. Paul said, I've got in my body the marks of the persecution, and I'm going to glory only in the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross. And if we go to heaven, we're going to go to heaven because of the wonderful, glorious cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that manifested His love for mankind, His hatred for sin, and His Spirit of God saying, come now, let us reason together. Really, that's what it is. It's a reasoning together. And when we do that, you'll find out the Lord's never unreasonable. I've talked to some people very unreasonable. It's their way or no way. But my Lord's a reasonable person. I can talk to Him. When you come to Him and say, dear Lord, I'm a sinner, God says, I know that. But I love You. God, I'm not what I ought to be. Jesus said, I know that. That's why I went to the cross. Well, I don't live like I should. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, don't ever let the world tell you that sin is black. I've seen them little things people do, da, da, da. According to the Word of God, sin is red like crimson. Though it be red, though it be scarlet, He says, I'll make it white as snow. He'll clean it up. He'll make it right. I'm glad, thank God, for the persecution that has gone throughout. The church has always flourished under persecution. I'll tell you what, if persecution came to America today, those 12,000-15,000 people that gather some of these churches every Sunday, you couldn't find them with a microscope. Persecution comes, the worldlings fly. Persecution comes, the saved of God, we stand. We fight. This is our battle. This is where that's what we're here for. So may God help us this morning to realize it's Jesus. He saves. He and He alone gives us life. Let's stand together this morning.